Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. This one is one to sit back and listen, folks. This is going to be a special one because we're talking about what I think is a new gym, a new part of the gym for North Platte, and that is all the work that has been done around Iron Horse Lake, just south of exit 177, where the Veterans Memorial, Law Enforcement Memorial, the new playground is. There's been a total renovation of the lake as far as what we can do and present for fishing. And Lyle Minchell is in to talk with us about that because you kind of oversaw that whole program.
Well, yes. A big thank you guys. Goes to Nebraska Game Parks.
Yes.
Because they...
As you said, they did the lion's share of the work.
They did, yeah, absolutely. They brought the contractor in, did all the bidding process and all that, you know, and it was great. Contractor was great. I mean, we saw five new piers being built out there,
and
fishing piers.
Let's talk a little bit more about that when you get done with your statement, but they're more than just, you know, a pier to me is a straight line.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, these things are well-built, attractive structures that are out there. What's the dimension on there? They got to be about 25 by 25, don't they?
That is probably about what you're right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And
they're not just posts set in the ground. They were pilings that were drove in by a pile driver.
Right.
So they are there
to
stay. Yeah, they're sturdy. They're going to be there to stay for quite a while.
Like you kind of alluded to earlier conversation, it's going to outlive both of us.
Yeah. That's right.
It's going to be there for a while.
Right. But it's going to be a quiet attraction. And you mentioned about, you know, children fishing. You know, it's going to get them hooked on fishing. And you know, that's one of the things that Game and Parks looks at, too, you know.
Oh,
is that they want to get the next generation
exactly
involved with outdoor activities.
Exactly.
Which, yeah.
And Jared Lawrenson, who is a fisheries biologist with the Southwest region here, stationed here in North Platte, this was kind of his brainchild.
Yeah.
Because he has younger kids, and he'd take them out there fishing, and of course, he couldn't leave work behind. He's sitting there looking at everything, thinking, how could we make this better?
Yeah, I'm so grateful for Jared, too, for coming up with something like this, too.
And
the thing I like, it, you know, he's experienced at it, too, because, you know, he's been out at Birdwood and done all them out there and
right.
Maxwell, you know, where all the interstate lakes where they have all them new ones.
All the docks. And
he
piers
knew what it needed. And so that was, you know.
Exactly.
His input was golden. So.
And when I went out there, and well, let's talk about what would you call the percentage state of completion? Are you like 95%?
No, it's done.
Done?
It's done. Well, if you want to call growing the grass part of it, but
I was going to say final landscaping is all you got to wait on. And we need rain for that.
Oh yeah, we had a little bit, so hopefully that'll take a hold there. Yeah,
but. You had five new fishing platforms, docks, whatever you call it. You've got dedicated places now for boat launches, kayak launching, canoe launching, expanded parking out there.
Right.
You guys thought it out well.
Well, it has that courtesy dock there by the
by the
loading dock there. But, you know, for people that... you know, can get in and out of the boat, you know, that are, you know, not capable of walking there. So, you know.
It's a good stable base to work on.
That's right. We like to have the water up a little higher, though, because it is.
We'll work on that, okay?
Please do. I mean, it sets up in the air quite a bit right now, but it was set up, you know, as what a normal height of the water would be.
Right.
And so, but we're low right now, and so.
Yeah, that's Mother Nature going to have to. Correct that one. For
that's
us.
Right.
Do you know the cost of the total program?
You know, it was right around $750,000.
Okay. Yeah. And I think another beauty of that is the city had very little financial input in that.
Yep. All we did is absorb some labor into that, you know, a little bit. And, you know, we'll have our maintenance now behind, you know, ahead of us. So, But, you know, the things like, you know, the canoe ramp, or the kayak ramp, you know. That's the up-and-coming thing, you know, for for recreation. And so we wanted to accommodate that, if you will. And so,
and the people say, you know, how, who paid for that? How did it pay for that? Well, that all came out of what is known as the Aquatic Habitat Fund. When you, I, anybody else buys a fishing license, there's a percent of that that goes off into this Aquatic Habitat Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aquatic Habitat Fund, let's see, I got some notes here that Jared was telling me about. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary of that fund, and it has raised more than $22 million and helped improve 137 bodies of water across the state. Now,
yeah,
that may be 138 now.
That's right. That's right.
So that was a great win-win.
Right. And, you know, and there's some of the parts that you don't see, too, like the vegetation.
The mats.
Yeah.
That's always been an issue with that lake because of the milfoil that's
right
in there.
Right.
And Jared told me something else that I didn't realize is that's very unique from other interstate lakes. Most of those, you know, they dug them for the gravel and the sand when they made overpasses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
one doesn't have a gravel sand bottom. It's hard-packed clay.
Yeah. It seemed like there's places where they tried to excavate their material and couldn't find what they were looking for, so they went to someplace else, found it.
And it's just a bunch of humps and bumps on the bottom and little channels and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty good habitat for fish, but...
That's right,
It would be better if it were deeper, but, you know, maybe you can't have everything on it.
That's right, yeah.
Well, as in one of my past lives, we used to have a saying that there is no problem that cannot be corrected with the judicious amount of high explosives. We can make it deeper. Just give me some room.
Okay.
It's just a marvelous transformation of what it was. It was a nice lake before, but we've got a phenomenal thing going now.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to see a lot of, I mean, we even see a lot of people just stopping from the interstate out there.
That's right.
You know, playground, we've got the playground for their kids, you know.
Right.
And if they happen to have their fishing pole with them, they can stop by, you know, for a few minutes and drown a worm if they want to. You know?
I carry poles with me because I run up and down the interstate, and the interstate lakes in and of themselves, it's a smorgasbord.
Yeah,
you can, you can catch there.
And
when I have people come to visit Nebraska, and particularly fishermen, I take them to the interstate lakes, and they just can't believe that we've got that type of fishing available to us. And that goes back to the gentleman that really thought of all of that, who was in charge of the Game and Parks Fisheries Group at the time, Mel Steen. I don't know if you ever knew or met Mel.
Nope, sure didn't.
He recognized the geology of the valley and knew that when they put that interstate in, they were going to have to dig some borrow pits, and fought very hard in the legislature to keep them open.
So yeah.
There's 200 and something of those lakes across the state, and about 150 of them are public access, so did a good job.
Absolutely.
And one of the advantages here for us with Iron Horse is it's one of the few public access lakes that does not require a Game and Parks park pass to get to it.
That's correct. Yep.
And so anybody can go out there.
Yeah, it's a city maintained, so, and we don't have any kind of program like that. You in place, so obviously it doesn't cost you anything to go out there.
That's another plus.
Yeah.
Any more future plans you've thought of about what you might be able to put out there?
Well, obviously we have a trail network,
right?
And we're going to be probably looking at seeing if we can get that trail extended around to the south side of the lake. You know, so we have a full loop right there, and so I know a lot of people really like and enjoy walking around that too,
right?
It's part of the trail network. We need to probably do a little bit of work on that one on the north side, but that's work in progress right now. So
when I'm out there, that's someplace I go if I'm just testing a new lure. I'll go out there. It's an easy place to get to.
Uh-huh.
But I quite often I see people walking that trail, and a lot of young families. So mom and dad are doing the walking, and kids are riding bicycles or tricycles along with them.
That's right. So that's right. Yeah.
It's got a lot of pluses.
Yep, a complete recreation place.
Now I know you and your trees. You know, we get some more shade trees up out there. Picnicking will be a great part. Like I said, it's just I can't give you enough kudos on how all that's shaping up. I'm watching that and thinking, man, this is, you hit a home run on this one.
Well, yeah, we sure did. And like I said, I appreciate what Jared and Nebraska Game and Parks did with this project. And, they get the kudos from me. So,
right.
Right. So
I'm surprised $750,000 covered what was there, because there's a lot that went in.
Yes, there was. I mean, we actually had to cut it back a little bit because, once we got the initial bidding in, that it was a little bit higher than that, so we had to cut some of the stuff back. We were looking at doing an actual peninsula out straight out from the playground,
so
people could go out there and maybe have a little bit of a pond in the middle of it with a bridge and stuff like that. They had some of that in mind, too, to do that, too, but that probably won't come to fruition.
Well, don't lose those plans. You may get to do it another time.
Maybe so.
I said, and again, for kids, God, it's going to be a fun place to go. I'm going to try to get out there this week and find a kid and mom, dad, whoever, and interview them on the fishing and tie this all back into another article.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And we were joking about it off air, there's bass, there's crappie, there's catfish, there's bluegill in that lake, and bluegill, they don't care. They'll bite about anything.
That's right. I've seen them bite on sunflower petals.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never tried that one.
Yeah.
I'll take somebody new to the sport of fly fishing, and I'll take them out there. And because bluegills don't care whether you have a nice, smooth back cast or not. They just want what's hitting the water.
Uh-huh.
And I tell people, I said, I'll have you casting and catching fish within a half hour. And they think, you're full of it. And, we do. It's because of that. It's just, it's got so many options, so many outdoor-related options to it that I don't want to see it overlooked. I really want people to know about it and people to utilize it, because it is a great addition to what all you guys do with our parks department around here.
Absolutely.
Now, in a couple of other places in the park, like Cody Park, and I think over by the Ball Diamonds, there's some small lakes in there. Is there any fishing in those?
The one there by Billwood Field, we see some fishermen over there once in a while. Years ago, I don't know if it still happens or not, but I know that, if they, they're not supposed to do this, but, I mean, they've catch some fish from another lake, and then they go drop it in that lake there, and so the kids could catch something, in that pond, too. We have another pond there in the northeast corner of the Cody Park.
Right. That's the one I'm thinking of specifically.
And I've had a conversation with Jared on that one, too, that we might go ahead and maybe do some renovations on it to make it more
angler friendly,
the better habitat, because it's not very deep, and but we're looking into something like that too here down the road.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
Yeah. And Julie Geiser, she wants to put a natural playground in there somewhere too, so
yeah. Julie and I were talking one day, and we were talking about I forget how we worded it, but it was like the original PlayStation. Was a creek or a pond.
That's right.
when we were kids.
Uh-huh.
Go down in there, play with that. And I know Julie's granddaughters, they love doing stuff like that. I can't see those girls growing up and not becoming biologists they're headed.
In fact, talking about Julie, she's been talking with Kiwanis about doing one of those with that playground in Iron Horse. So there might be an addition to that playground.
There you go.
And so they're working there on that too. So
Julie is a great asset again to the game and parks and for us in North Platte.
Yeah.
Because she's always thinking forward in stuff like that.
That's right.
Have you ever heard my nickname for her?
Mog.
M-O-G. stands for Madam Outdoor Goddess. And if I'm within the game and parks, even back in Lincoln, if somebody hears the word Mog, they know it's Julie and I have been in contact with somebody on. Is the game and parks looking at any plans for stocking more fish in Iron Horse Lake, or what are we going to do with that?
That would be a Jared question.
Okay,
really, he's the fisheries guy, and I know they stock it once in a while, and they renovated the fish in here about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was thinking it may have been a little longer.
It might have been.
They put in a chemical known as rotenone. And that basically kills everything off.
Right.
And when they did that, I was out there taking some pictures and talking with the guys doing that, and I think about 90% plus of the biomass that came up out of that was suckers and carp.
Right.
Which is what they wanted to get rid of and then put back in more game fish species, and they've done that.
Yep.
And that's doing well.
I mean, it's
not a trophy fishery, but you're going to catch fish.
I've heard some people that, caught some good sized fish out of there and good sized bass. And then hundreds of thousands of bluegill. Yeah.
Exactly. And the new docks, the fishing docks they've put in, I walked out on several of them. I think there's five total. And I walked out, I think, on three and just walked and looked along the edges and just straight down, you can see the bluegill.
Yep.
And then if you look kind of back under the docks, it was a hot day when I was out there, so they're all up under there in shade.
Yeah.
So you just dangle something down there that they can bite, and they're going to come out and grab it.
Yep, they sure are, yeah.
And then you mentioned the vegetation pads. They're in between the docks. They laid those pads in.
Yep.
And that's to keep in vegetation from growing, so it makes a better fishing environment. Like I said, Jared thought it out pretty well.
That's right. That's right. We talk about that courtesy dock a little bit. On the other side of it, we took out some of the riprap, that concrete,
right,
so that people can pull their boat up there while they go grab their trailer. And so that was one of the requests that we heard a lot of,
right,
that we do that so that they didn't have their boats banging up against the rocks. So.
And I have seen people taking advantage of that already.
Good, good.
There's a couple guys out there, they were smaller John boat type boats, but set up for bass fishing, that they had backed down there. And it's a non-wake lake, I think.
Right, right. Yeah.
But is it electric motor only, or can you use a gas motor?
You can use a gas motor. Okay. Just,
That's what I was thinking. And that's great. The one thing I haven't seen out there yet, and I'm sure I will, probably if I mention it, somebody will go do it. I haven't seen anybody on one of the stand-up paddle boards yet.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a lot of kayaks, a lot of canoes. I've done both on that lake. And it's perfect for that. Particularly, as you mentioned earlier, kayaks are a big thing in outdoor recreation. Everybody seems to love kayaks and use them, and they're a fantastic recreational tool. But you go buy one somewhere, and then you got to figure out, what am I going to do? Where am I going to test it out?
Yeah.
You got a perfect spot now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And unless there's a tremendous wind going, that you never have to worry too much about waves and all that kind of stuff out there. It's not like being out in the middle of McConaughey. Waves coming.
Yeah, I've seen some white caps out there once in a while, but I mean, like I say, it's nothing like what McConaughey is.
Well, it's Nebraska. I've seen white caps on puddles alongside the road. Like I said, but it's the only thing, thinking of it like a biologist, and I know Jared probably thought the same way, and you guys probably discussed it, but if I could get a couple places in there a little deeper, that'd be a good improvement. But sometimes you can't have everything.
Yeah, where would you put it?
The deep holes?
No, if you had everything.
Oh, I'd find a place. I'd build a bigger shed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the other two amenities out there, the law enforcement memorial is just absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
They did a good job on it. And, of course, then
the veterans
is outstanding. Outstanding. They did way and above and beyond, I think, what the original plans were. I think it started out with just a little gazebo in the middle of a piece of concrete out there. It started out, and look what we have now. So
it is. And the sculptures that are out there, literally world class.
Yeah.
The sculpture and the relief, the carved brick relief. Is that what you call that? That's on the wall.
On the wall? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That just fascinates me, looking at how that's done.
Yeah.
We're about out of time, so anything else we want to throw out there related to the Parks Department and what you guys are doing?
Well, like I said earlier, we're just a little bit short of help this year. So we got to kind of prioritize and pick and choose what we can do. And I just, really appreciate the patience that people have shown us on a lot of stuff already. Okay. And I'm truly thankful for that, and I hope they can, the patient doesn't wear thin. We've got great parks, and we like to keep it that way if we possibly can.
Well, let's talk about one other thing that I mentioned to you the other day about around all the fishing docks. I noticed that the top boards are always canted at about a 45-degree angle.
Uh-huh.
And then in between, there are some that have holes drilled in them so you can set your rods in. And I complimented you on that part of the design.
Yeah.
And then you asked me why those boards were angled like that. Uh-huh. I thought it was water runoff so they wouldn't rot. And Lyle says, no. He says, that's so you don't put your beer can up there and it falls off into the water and creates a problem. And I thought, there he is, thinking again. Lyle, thank you very much
for
coming in.
You're most welcome. Glad to be here.
I love helping you brag about that. There, that's a good one.
Yeah, good. Good.
So that's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.